Your first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackSidewalks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the saddest little basketball podcast you could ever possibly imagine. Hi, everyone. It's Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Crack Sidewalks. And boy, Phil, that was one hell of a week.
Yeah, really, at this point, I have a choice to make, whether I'm going to be like traditional Hulk or I'm going to be Professor Hulk. Either way, I'm going to be in a rage.
Yeah, I can understand, you know. I feel like we should put an explicit lyrics warning on this podcast. You know, so if you're listening with your children, I can't promise it's going to be 100% clean language. Probably shouldn't be exposing your children to Marquette basketball anyway. They might resent you for it later in life. But we are going to get into an absolutely brutal week and maybe try to talk ourselves into some optimism, or maybe not. Maybe we'll just burn the whole damn thing down. And then we'll probably get to some Big East tournament talk at the end. And many of those of you who follow me on Twitter know I did a little crowdsourcing, and that will jump into the discussion. But, Phil, I mean, I don't think we need to break down the losses to DePaul and St. John's as much as we just need to ask the broader picture, what the hell is going on with this team?
I mean, we can officially, you know, this isn't – we're not the CDC here with the COVID-19 trying to decide if it's a pandemic or not. This, we can officially label this a collapse, right? This is the second season in a row in which we've collapsed?
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad all the stores are out of toilet paper because this team is just shitting all over itself right now.
Yes, this is the two-drink minimum. This is the podcast we've all been living for.
But yeah, it's, you know, we can't win until last week, Phil, saying, look, yeah, they're playing two inferior teams, both on the road, but like the win over Georgetown was like kind of pushed back the fears of a collapse and say, well, they've mostly been losing to either good or hot teams, but then apparently they just kicked the fears of a collapse down the road, and yeah. For the second straight year, Marquette is in a full-on collapse. They lost two brutal games. You know, against inferior teams, yes, on the road, but it was just maddening, especially when they just get down so big and do these late rallies that give you a little hope and then, you know, fall flat on their faces again. And they keep trotting out the same lineups out there over and over again and then, like, maybe make some adjustments in the second half, but by then it's always too little too late.
Yeah, well, and I mean the games. So I was thinking about this, unfortunately, because I couldn't not think about it. I was so angry. But you know, it kind of take in a microcosm as opposed to the macrocosm that you kind of mentioned. You know, the thing that comes to mind is excuses. You talked on a podcast, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago about how there's always a season excuse for Wojo, right? And that's why, you know, theoretically you get a continued number of years. I think, like, when you look at this season especially, each game you can probably come up with some excuse that's different, right? Like, each game, the DePaul game was lost for, you know, reason, like, the offense wasn't good. You know, the defense stopped DePaul, held them from field goals for, like, 10 minutes, but the offense just didn't score enough to bury them, right? The St. John's game, like, they just were a turnstile and a garden rake on defense, right? Anything could get by them, at least for the first 26 minutes. So, and then you can go to the Seton Hall game. Seton Hall shot their lights out, like, right? They shot whatever it was, 60% from three, which is way above their normal, whatever. So you can game by game kind of come up with these excuses for why that game is, why the result is the way it is. But when you accumulate all of these excuses, what you realize is this is a team that by and large doesn't do anything well. So there is always one thing that can beat them that they can never overcome.
To me, there's no excuse for losing to DePaul without Paul Reed.
Mm. Now, I thought for even me going, man, we struggle at DePaul. When I heard Paul Reed was out, I was like, oh, we're good. Like, we're good.
Shouldn't happen. And that was a game where instead of getting down early and the falling back. They were up for most of that game and just never put DePaul away, and then you let him right back in it, and they hit a few shots at the end to win the damn thing. So, but yeah, like the thing is, when you make excuse after excuse, say, well, this game could have gone that way, and that game could have gone that way, but we're actually better than our record shows. But your record is, you are what your record says you are. And it all piles up, and that this team is just full of flaws, and Marcus Howard can only do so much. Marcus Howard has been very good the last four or five games. Since he lost that mask, I think he's been over 30 points in every game since he lost the mask.
Yep, yes.
He's been... And unfortunately, the rest of the roster, it's been a lot of regression there. Brendan Bailey's shot has kind of disappeared. Sakar's shot has disappeared. You know, Theo John has had his struggles. I give him a little bit of a pass because I know that hand is bothering him, but I can't, you know, I can't say that's a total reason why, but I know he's playing hurt and he needs surgery as soon as the season's over. But Jace Johnson's been good. I have to say that. He's always given you what you expect out of him. But, and it's, yeah, just the guys that Marcus Howard usually needs to step up to support him to get wins over, you know, good teams, or really any teams at this point, they just haven't been there. Like, Sakar's had his struggles, and Bailey's had his struggles, and Kobe McEwen, my goodness. You know, I almost feel bad for him, because he is just so deep inside his own head right now. Man, he is really, really fighting it right now.
Well, and I do feel bad for him, because, like, his performance in over the last, let's say 10 games, right? It may be more like 8 games. Has been so outside of what he's capable of doing. Like, at some point, yes, you've got to be responsible for yourself and figure it out and adjust and whatever. But at some point, some of this is on the coaching staff to either A, stop playing him until he gets right, or B, like, figure out a way to put him in a position where he can see a ball go through the hoop, get comfortable, get on a roll, right? Like, Kobe cannot, like, you just can't keep trotting Kobe out there 25, 30 minutes a game and go, man, I really wish he would perform, right? Like, that's just criminal negligence at some point.
Yeah, is, you know, they waited till they got down 12-0 against St. John's. Like, well, let's try something different. You know, you just, it seems like they keep hitting the reset button to say, look, it was rough last game, it'll be better this game.
Right.
And look, if you do that in games 3, 4, and 5, okay, sure. You know, when you're in game 30, I mean, damn, man, you pretty much know what you have at this point, don't you?
Yeah, well, and that's why, like, I mean, we're not going to go into the individual games, but, and you even tweeted, I think, something to this effect about, like, how you were going to be totally frustrated with the inevitable comeback to close it within, you know, 8 or 9, and then, you know, Wojo to trot out the whole, well, you know, they had a heck of a fight, you know, but, like, Why do you wait till 26 minutes in a 40-minute game where you're down 25 to make that change?
Yeah, like why not focus for 40 minutes
right?
Like, instead of focusing for the last 20, man? Like, where's the fight when the game begins? Where's the adjustments that you probably should have made, you know, in film study and, you know, whatever kind of research you do to prepare yourself for a game, say, look, this hasn't been working for the last few weeks. We should probably go with something a little different. You know, why does this team always figure it out way too late?
Well, and like, why didn't Wojo go to the different, like, go to an all guard or an all small lineup, whatever you want to do? You know, why didn't he go there with 5 minutes to go in the first half, right? Like, what? I mean, what you saw at the end of the game was that Marquette, weirdly enough, just ran out of time. The way Marquette was coming back, if that game was 5 minutes longer, Marquette wins it.
Maybe.
I mean,
it's kind of similar to Seton Hall, where they kind of figured, look, you know, Gil and Mamu are just abusing us. Let's play two bigs for a while. And that kind of worked and got it a little closer.
Right.
Seton Hall might have called off the dogs there, but the point remains, the adjustments they make are just way too little, way too late.
It's like what it feels like is that there's a kernel, like, in the back, there's a small little voice in the back of Wojo's head telling him to do something that is outside of whatever this very narrow box of coaching strategy that Wojo feels comfortable with. And when I say strategy, I mean, like, big picture strategy. I don't mean out of timeouts or anything like that. Like the style or the approach to the game, right?
Yeah, he's got like, this little... Yeah, my starting lineup is the correct starting lineup, and I'm going to make this work.
Right, and so he's got that. But then as games get desperate, it's like the walls of that box start crumbling, and that voice starts getting louder, and he finally gets to the point where he goes, "F it, let's try this thing I've been thinking about." And then it works, but he never learns that, hey, maybe I should listen to that little voice sooner or from the jump.
Right.
It's like I don't mean conservative in like any sort of political sense, but he's like it seems like as a coaching style, and I guess this makes sense coming from Duke, he's a conservative coach, right? Like he's not going to do wild and crazy things. He's not going to do anything outside of the box.
Yeah, maybe a little too old school for his own good.
Right.
Yeah, maybe, and yeah, it's stubborn, maybe set in his ways, and maybe sometimes those are good qualities for a coach if you've got something that works or has worked. You know, if you're a guy like Tom Izzo or Coach K or Roy Williams, and you have something that has worked for 25, 30 years, you could, you know, like Coach K did like this week, or he said, yeah, look, if you want to question me, you can, you know, look at those banners up there. That I can respect.
Right.
It's like, okay, you got those rings, I will trust whatever you say. Wojo doesn't have those rings, and he doesn't have those banners. And I think that's really kind of the big picture thing that fans are struggling with, is that what we really want, and this is kind of what I kind of crowdsourced a little bit, when I take a step back and say, what do we really want? Like, when we say this team isn't where we wanted it to be, or this team should be doing more, I wanted to see, I asked on Twitter, I said, look, if you could rewind to 2014 when Wojo was hired, if you could honestly ask yourself what you wanted that day, if I asked you 2014, right after Wojo was hired, 6 years from now, what should he have accomplished? And I don't think anyone reasonably is saying, well, he should have been to a Final Four by now, or he should have won a national title by now, or he should have 3 Big East championships by now. I don't think anybody's asking for anything that extravagant, any sensible fan. But I think the simplest answer is we just want a few things to celebrate. Just a few things to say, man, isn't it great to be us today? I think we've had that like one or two times the last 6 years. Like when they beat number 1 Villanova, yeah, maybe a bit of a fluky win, but still that was something to really celebrate. That was a fun day. That was good stuff. But yeah, we want something that we can celebrate as a fan base, and, you know, text our friends and, you know, raise a glass at the bar, or, go back and forth with people on social media saying, how great is this, you know, when they win a Big East championship or win a Big East tournament or win an NCAA tournament game, go to a Sweet 16. We're looking for those little milestones just to celebrate and just a few days to say, hey, it was good to be us. It's good to be us today. Haven't had many of those. And no. That's kind of what I kind of wanted to ask people. Kind of wanted to get a general sense of how far is Wojo from what could be reasonably expected right now?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, a lot of people point to the NCAA tournament results, and yeah, it's not ideal that we don't have, you know, that we're going on year. I mean, it really feels like this is going to be the 7th year where we don't win an NCAA tournament game. If you go all the way back to Buzz's last year,
right.
So yeah, that is disheartening. But the NCAA tournament, it goes back to there could have been a couple of excuses for Wojo, you know, playing an underseeded South Carolina team in the Carolina area, and then playing, you know, a team with Ja Morant, who's, you know, very likely going to be a rookie of the year in the NBA. So there's excuses there, right? So you forgive that. But I think the biggest thing for me is that I would have expected year 6 to look better than year 5 and year 5 to look better than year 4. And like year 5, I think to be fair, we have to say that year 5 did, if not for the collapse, right, and the just the complete bedwetting against Murray State, year 5 definitely looked like the best of the years so far. So there was improvement there. But then when you pile that on with, you know, that Marquette is now 0-5 in March in the last 2 years, and could very likely go 0-7 in the last two marches. Like, I don't know, it starts to stack up to this team's not getting better.
Yeah, and I think the kind of one thing I wanted to get at with that question was how much is what we want from this team skewed by two collapses? Like the fact that they have faded down the stretch in each of the last 2 years, which really have been Wojo's two best teams. How much does that, you know, skew the big picture? Because, you know, my answer to the question is reasonably what would I have liked at this point. I would say after you get past those first 2 years, I would like a team that is regularly ranked. So, like, more, they're ranked more weeks than they are not ranked. So that means you're nationally relevant. I think at least one Big East championship chase, not necessarily a championship, but one in which they are in the title hunt all the way to the last day. And we got that last year. It just didn't really feel like it, just because of the way everything kind of fell apart. You know, and you know, your point about last year is valid. Like, if they had the exact same record, but the wins and losses were scrambled in a different order, and that was the end result, I think we would have really celebrated last year. Just the fact that we moved the bar when they were a game away from a Big East championship and they didn't get it, that just hurt so badly.
Yeah.
And then and that just really stuck with us, and now it's coming back to us in just a nightmare fashion. Just like, oh God, that's, you know, it's happening all over again. And the other thing I would say is, yes, I would like some tournament success. You know, a Sweet 16 would be nice by now, but just to have, like, I'd say two tournament wins total. Like, whether it's get to one Sweet 16 or get to the round of 32 twice by now, I think that's reasonable. We said it last week, Phil. Like, yes, judging a coach by just March may be a little unfair, but at the same time, that is how we determine the champion. So if your long-term goal is an NCAA championship, it is okay to expect some type of results in March. And so that's kind of where I am there. But yeah, I think it is skewed a little bit by the fact that they have faded quite spectacularly the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I try and take the collapses out of it, right, a little bit. To your point, last year would have been celebrated had the games been more scattered, the losses been more scattered, right?
Yeah.
I think so part of this is an optics problem, and that's fair. That's fair to say, okay, the fan base is in a rage because of optics, which it's, you know, just happenstance. Because, like, you even brought up, you know, because I think after the DePaul game, I said something like, all right, this has broken me. Wojo needs to get a Sweet 16 or he's gone. And you're, you know, rightly pointed out. So if he wins two games, random games in March, that makes everything better. And if you kind of look at it unemotionally, you're right. Like, that shouldn't make a difference, right? Because it's really about the optics. So if we take the collapse out of it, from last year's collapse out of it, okay, that was solidly good. But now, and you cannot take the fact that the Housers you can't give the excuse that the Housers transferred and say this year should be a step back. Because, one, the Housers transferred under Wojo's watch, and two, we saw it throughout the season this year. They had the talent. Yes, it's a flawed team, but the talent existed to be successful, right? I mean, they beat Villanova at home. They blew out USC. They've got talent to be able to win, especially against lower-seeded teams. But this season, no matter how you slice it, even if you spread the losses across the conference season so it's not a quote-unquote collapse, this is still a season that's a step back when you have, like, a four-year senior at the peak of his powers, the all-time leading scorer in Marquette history, who in the last six games has been shooting, like, you know, an effective field goal percentage of almost 60%. Right. And you've lost five out of those six games.
Yeah, the only one you beat was a Georgetown team that was playing like five guys.
Right, right. And had almost and one of the guys playing wasn't even on scholarship, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, we should not celebrate that Georgetown victory because, well, damn, you should.
Yeah, you better win that one.
Right.
But, man, yeah, I just wonder where the team is mentally right now because, you know, you mentioned the – You mentioned the Hausers leaving, and I hate that we keep coming back to it, but it's unavoidable. It's like, and yeah, I agree with you that you can't give Wojo a pass on that, because they kind of, like, while this has never really been confirmed by anybody, it's safe to assume that, like, they left because they just don't believe in Wojo. And, right. Like, maybe it's a combo of Wojo and Howard, but, you know, that is what, it is largely, big picture, on Wojo, that he did not have an environment, or a team, or a scheme, or just a general mindset that would have those kids say, you know what, this is the place for me. This I want to be a part of this. We're a preseason top 10 team. I want to be a part of this. And but they said, no, I don't want to be a part of this. So that's on him. But, like, get back to the question of where the team is mentally, it's got to be tough, because I'm sure, you know, over the summer, they said, look, we had... Maybe they're saying, look, we had some locker room issues last year. We're going to be tighter this year, and we're going to be better as a team. But it happens again, so obviously the problem from last year didn't leave. It's still there. And that has to be tough that they're trying to process that right now.
Yeah, well, and what's interesting is the collapse this year looks different than last year, right? Like, the collapse last year, Marcus was certainly hurt and was not playing as well. Now, the rest of the team, I mean, we can even point at the Hausers themselves, their shooting performances and overall performance in those games at the end of the year was not good, right? Like, nobody blameless.
They were complicit in that, for sure. Their turnovers were bad, but so was everybody, though. Everybody was bad.
Exactly. But this season, the collapse this season... Like we just said, Marcus is at the peak of his powers. Once he got rid of that mask, he has been at the peak of his powers.
Sound like you're talking about a superhero, but I like it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've gone full Marvel. But,
that's fine.
But, you know, maybe he's Rocket Raccoon. I don't know. Anyway, the rest of the cast, if you will, like Brendan Bailey, Kobe McEwen, Sakaar, Anim, like... They have just fallen apart. Yeah. Like, I mean, the thing that strikes me is, and maybe somebody mentioned this on Twitter, but Marcus in the interview with Ben Still from the Journal Sentinel before the St. John's game was like, hey, this is a must-win game. We have to win this game. Yep. And you know what the team responded with? Gave up 12 points and 5 turnovers at the start of the St. John's game, right? Your senior leader who is doing every – it's not even like Marcus is like floating or part of the problem. Your senior leader calls you to step up and you crap the bed.
Yeah, and I want to say like maybe not so much in the St. John's game because it just fell apart so quickly. But like in the DePaul game, to me it seemed like he was trying to get everybody involved very early. And like he looked like he was heading for like a 15-assist game the way he was distributing the ball. But they just kept missing shots. And he's like, look, I'm fine. I'll do this myself. And I think that's kind of where he keeps falling is like, look, I would love to get you guys involved. But damn, could you hit a shot when I hit you with an open three? Like when you get an open look, could you just, you know, shoot better than... 25% or whatever the team is shooting right now when outside of Marcus. But, you know, like, yeah, as much as, you know, and it sucks because Marcus Howard is, not that this should matter that much, but the fact is his Big East Player of the Year, his National Player of the Year, even his first team All-American hopes have taken a huge hit the last 2 or 3 weeks, and it's really not his fault at all.
Right.
Like, he has played really well. Yeah, people are going to nitpick things. Yeah, well, he had a turnover at the end of the game there. He had a turnover at the end of the game here. He missed a big shot there. But he wouldn't have to do that if the rest of the team was playing a little better.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know how – like, yeah, the St. John's game, he had that I shouldn't have, but I got sucked back into the end of the game. And, like, when Marcus went for that layup and got it picked, I was like – boy, this feels like the season in a nutshell, right? Like, you just and you feel bad for the kid because it's not necessarily his fault, and this is the other part, and maybe this is a little talk therapy we need to go through. The thing I struggle with, I mean, for God's sakes, I wrote a couple of articles, and I hate writing, a couple of articles about, you know, or blogs about, you know, Wojo's getting better as a coach. Right. And he immediately, you know, rewarded me by like just, you know, diarrhea everywhere. Right. And like,
the lesson here is never write nice things about anyone.
Right. Especially about Wojo. But like the thing I struggle with is and I don't know what the fix is. And I'm trying to find a place to assign blame and blame and where to place my anger. But if you step back and you look at the game. you know, without the names on the jersey, and you look at what's happening on the offensive side of the ball, the shots are there. They are open shots, and these players are just missing them. So is that on the players? Is that on the coaching? Is it on the coaching because they're not changing up and attacking the rim instead of settling for jump shots? So I struggle with that. But on the opposite end, the defense is atrocious. And, like, it has collapsed the last six or seven games. And that one, I don't think you can put anywhere but the coaching staff. Like, why is the defense such a dumpster fire all of a sudden?
It is. It's been bad, man. And, like, it seems like – it just seems like the other teams are more prepared than they are right now. Like the other teams know exactly how to go at Marquette, and Marquette doesn't seem to have any answers on how to defend any team. And granted, you're not going to defend St. John's the same way you defend Seton Hall, and you're not going to defend Seton Hall the same way you defend DePaul. Everything's a little different, but they just look unprepared and just lost, and they're just trying to figure things out. But you would – that has to be on the that part does have to be on the coaches, man. Then I just don't know what else to say. It's just like it seems like the better coach is on the opposite bench, better coaching staff is on the opposite bench in every game these days.
Right. Well, let me ask this question: if we were to power rank the Big East coaches currently, where would you put Wojo on that list numerically?
I think I might have to go ninth.
I struggle with this. I would put him eighth. I would definitely, and this is a shock to me as much as I bagged on Georgetown, I would put Ewing ahead of him.
Ewing is overachieved this year.
Yeah. I mean, two different times, right? Like he kicked some players off and he still did okay. And then he's had a rash of injuries and he's still got some wins. Wojo can't point at wins he's overachieved at.
Yeah, if McClung and Yurtseven don't get hurt, they might be on the bubble right now.
Right. Right.
The only guy we definitely put below him is Lato.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Okay. And so the thing is
Mike Anderson below him as well.
I think you want to know a fun fact about Mike Anderson?
I do.
He has never in his coaching career, he's been a head coach since 2002, finished below 500. And he guaranteed that with a win against Marquette on Saturday.
Okay.
Never been below 500 ever. And he will not be below 500 this year because if he loses one game in the Big East tournament, he will be at 500 for the year. But you would think at some point, because he's moved jobs a few times, he would have taken over a team and they would have been really, really bad and you just got to suffer through one or two. But yeah, he has never been below 500 as a coach. And quite frankly, almost more often than not, well above 500 as a coach.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of his. I mean, because he's of a particular style, I get it.
He's the 40 minutes of hell style. Yes, he's of the Nolan Richardson tree. Yes.
Yes, but I mean, yeah. So he's just not a personal favorite of mine. So I'm fine if someone wants to put him ahead of Wojo. But let's just highlight that at a minimum, Wojo is in the bottom three in the current Big East.
Yeah, and you could make a case you could put him above Travis Steele because he's still kind of unproven. He's still kind of just taking over what Chris Mack did. So if you want to put Wojo seventh, ahead of Steele and Anderson and Lato, I could buy that. But the thing is, and it's not necessarily a slap to say you're seventh or worse in the Big East because, I mean, McDermott is a great coach. Jay Wright is a Hall of Fame coach. Kevin Willard has done well lately. I think he's really proved himself. He's really kind of built Seton Hall up, kind of where we would like Marquette to be right now. Ed Cooley, his teams are always stronger at the end of the year than they are at the beginning of the year. There's something to be said by that. Jordan, maybe unproven as well. So if I would listen to reasonable arguments of why you would put Wojo ahead of LaValle Jordan. So, but there are some damn good coaches in this league. I Wojo's definitely not in the top half. But, I think clearly ahead of Lato, and then you could have a debate about, Steele and Jordan are unproven. Ewing may be unproven to a fault, but I think Ewing showed me something this year. Anderson, I think, has a pretty good track record of being good, if not, he's probably never really been great as a head coach, but he has been good. He's been at least, you know, above average.
Yeah. So, I mean, he just – yeah. I don't know. I'm just struggling with this because I've really fallen off the Wojo train. Like, I am
– Yeah, it's notable to me that, you know, of the people I interact with the most on Twitter, you and Alan Bukowski are probably Wojo's biggest defenders.
Right.
And Wojo lost both of you this week.
Yeah.
Like, both you and Alan are like, I've had enough this week. And like, I did not think he would ever lose Alan, but he did lose him this week. but yeah, there are just very few, very few Wojo stands still on my timeline. And
I think the sad thing is, is the Wojo supporters are all in the Marquette Board of Trustees room, right? They're not on Twitter. They're in the boardroom.
Yeah. Yeah. That is unfortunate, but yeah, that's kind of the way it is. But I mean, I don't necessarily see him going anywhere, so we better kind of get used to it. But I mean, it's reasonable to expect some results at some point, right? It's like,
yeah,
if we get to, like, year seven, and I'll say this, I really hope this team, you know, assuming Wojo is going to be here still for year two or three, it would be nice if this team had some tournament success somehow this year, because if they don't, you know, the fan base is still going to be starving for tournament success, and I think that's going to be tough to put on next year's team.
Yeah,
because I think they're going to be young and they're going to be piecing it together. It would be nice for the sake of Wojo and the current coaches to at least scratch that negative off their resume. Say, hey, look, we had some tournament success. You know, a win or two, and then maybe give them a little breathing room to grow with this very young but talented crop that's coming in. But I think that's asking a lot. I've decided, you know, what would be the perfect, like, awkward ending that would still leave us right in the middle would be if Marquette ended up in Dayton and they got a win there, and that counts as a quote-unquote tournament win.
Oh, jeez.
And so, like, what'd you, hey, we got a tournament win.
In March. Look at that.
I beat fellow 11 seed NC State, and now we're moving on. So there's that. But
Like, the thing that's really, like, crystallizing, because, like, I, again, looked at the numbers, and even if you put the numbers in, like, the analysis I did previously, like, they have just cratered, right? Like, there is no silver lining anywhere in here, anywhere. But I think the thing that I'm really struggling with is just, like, I would look to the numbers to say, okay, we're getting better, and overlook the kind of the eye test, right? The feel that has always been there of one step back or one step forward, two steps back, right? Or two steps forward, one step back, right? Marquette never seems to step up big. We never seem to have a game where, like Seton Hall against us, where Seton Hall, admittedly, at the end of the game on senior day, Seton Hall was hitting jumper after jumper with hands in their face, or, you know, getting to the rim, right? Like, they were just making good shots against decent defense, right? But we never have those games, it seems, from Marquette. We never have that game where Marquette just seemed, under Wojo, where they just seem to not be willing to allow themselves to lose. It is invariably always, if Marquette is better than the other team and is out in front, they can generally do that. But they always tighten up, or they always find a way to not come through in the end. Like, and there's exceptions to that, right? The Xavier game when Marcus went out with the shot to the nose and stuff like that, they toughed through that. But more often than not, Marquette is just not tough enough. And they're just not consistent enough, right? I think there's talent, but they are just not consistent enough. And that is one of the most frustrating things I've experienced as a sports fan.
They don't really punch above their weight class very much. Like this year's team especially, maybe not as true last year or the year before, but it seems like when they're playing a team that's better than them, they never seem to get on equal ground. And they never, like, it seems like, well, this team is quite better. We thought this going in, and they are proving to be better throughout this entire game. And, they'll go out and beat some bad teams. They'll go beat, a five-man Georgetown team, no problem.
Right.
But then they also have, you know, it's okay. You know, it'd be great if you step above your weight class, and would be nice if you can counteract the when they have those setbacks. Like when you have a setback against DePaul and St. John's, I think you get over that quicker. Say, well, hey, but, you know, at least we beat Seton Hall the other week, or at least we beat, you know, went to Omaha and beat Creighton,
right?
Or have something like that to balance that out. But when you never surprise in a good way, the surprises in a bad way really stick to you.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it, right? Like if you're down, if you're going to have the downs, you got to have the ups to equal them. And if you don't, if your ups are we're average, well, that just doesn't work for me, right? And yeah. and I don't say this lightly, and I haven't made and this is not intended as an ultimatum or anything, but I know there's going to be a lot of talent on the team next year and stuff. But if Wojo is back next year, and let's be honest, I in no way do I think Marquette is going to fire Wojo, period, like full stop.
Yeah.
The only way Wojo is not here next year is if someone takes him off our hands.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, you finish. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so I'm anticipating Wojo being back next year. I am like legitimately considering not getting season tickets next year. Mm. I mean, the talent's going to be there, but I just, like, I don't know if I'm getting old or, like, just the emotions and the mostly negative emotions that seem to have come with the Wojo era. I'm not saying they have to win all the time, but, like, even the wins, I don't feel that great about. I think I'm out. I'll watch them on TV, obviously. I'm thinking we're going to do the podcast, right? I'll get a five pack. Like, I still want to take my kids to the games and stuff like that. I don't know why I want to make them Marquette fans, but I do. But, like, I really think something broke in me this week that I don't know that I can go through this again next season with an admittedly talented team. I'm sure they're going to be very talented, but I don't know that Wojo's the guy to get the maximum out of that talent.
That's where I am too, is like, I really want to be excited about this recruiting class, but as long from what I've seen over the past 6 years, if Wojo's their coach, I can't get too excited because I think they're still going to be kind of treading water in the middle of the Big East. That's kind of where I am, and I would love for him to prove me wrong and go out and, you know, win a Big East championship. Boy, that would be something if they were to pull that off this week or get to the Sweet 16. And, like, you know, one of the – you know, I mentioned the crowdsourcing I did earlier, and a lot of the answers were get to a Sweet 16, and I asked I just asked a quick follow-up, and not many people got back because this was, like, just before we started recording. But I said, for those of you who said – If they got a Sweet 16 this year, would that change a lot for you? Dan Massajewski, who I interact with a lot, he had a good answer. He said, it depends on how it looks. His answer was mostly like, if there were significant adjustments and it looked like they did a heck of a job coaching and to get those two wins, I might back off a little bit. It wouldn't do a total 180 on him, but I would at least back off a little and it just reconsider, say, give him a little more time.
No, I think that's the right look, right? Like we're kind of in a, because again, unless he gets hired somewhere else, he's not going anywhere. So we're kind of in this like guard your heart, like prove it to me thing, kind of.
Yeah,
kind
and
of
like place, yeah, right? That was the point I was going to make a minute ago. I forgot what I was going to say, but you reminded me there. It's like we've been in a couple text threads, a few DM threads where people are saying, yeah, he might you know test the waters and go somewhere else this offseason, and if the current season continues as the way it is, I think you're being optimistic to think he's going to be number one on anybody's list. Like,
you're banking on the fact that people aren't paying nearly as close attention to Marquette as we do, obviously, right? Like, that's
right.
The only reason, like, if somebody from another program that's a lateral move that Wojo would be interested in, like, you're counting on them not really peeking behind the curtain.
Are they just going to look at the record and say, "Hell, he's made the tournament the last 2 years. That's pretty good."
Right. Yeah. Because let's be honest, we haven't really touched on it. It doesn't matter. Marquette is making they might be playing in Dayton if they crash out against Seton Hall, but they are making the tournament this season.
I've been at 100% on that for the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to lie; it's dipped to like 99. But they're like, I don't know. I definitely didn't get the team sheets or anything ready, but the number of Q1 wins that Marquette has compared to the other teams that are on the bubble, and as bad as the losses to DePaul and St. John's were, as far as the quadrants, they're not horrid. Like, they don't. I don't think Marquette actually has. I'm pretty sure they don't have any Q3 or Q4 losses. Correct?
They do not. Not that I recall, but I'm going to look right now.
But the bottom line is Marquette's. You know, yes. Is Marquette good and is Marquette making the tournament are two totally different questions.
Right.
Like, if Marquette were to play the, I don't know, dozen or so teams that are truly on the bubble right now, I would bet they would lose all of them the way they're playing right now. So, yes, they are playing significantly worse and probably with a mental block that most of those teams are not dealing with right now. So, yes, they are playing worse than all of the teams on the bubble. But the fact is, it's not about how you've played the last month. It is your total body of work. The games from November matter as much as the games in February and early March. And Marquette's total body of work is as good as any of the teams on the bubble right now. Yes, that bubble, those available spots are going to tighten up over the next week, as inevitably there will be a bid thief here or there, like Utah State. That happened over the past week. There's going to be some bids that are taken away. But I don't think I can see it. It would be truly shocking to me if they fell all the way out. And yeah, if they lose to Seton Hall on Thursday, I might be a tad nervous heading into Selection Sunday, but I would still fully expect to hear Marquette's name. It would be I'm guessing, you know, somebody who does bracketology would tell me that would probably be, it would be really surprising for a team as many quad one wins and as few bad losses as Marquette has to miss the tournament.
Well, let's put it this way. In every metric that matters, KPI, KenPom, what's the SOR is, anyway,
strength of record, strength of record,
strength of record, BPI, all of those records, the net, they are at worst 30th, right? Like, so net, they're 26. KPI, they're 34. So they're the BPI, they're 30. KenPom, they're 30, right? So there's teams that are easily in the tournament behind them by all the metrics. Purdue, who Marquette beat, right? Illinois. There's some others I'm not looking at. So they're in, like, and now their record in, and it is so glaring. Villanova at home is the only, Villanova's now gone up to 13. So that means Marquette's win against Villanova is a Q1A victory. Marquette is 1-8 against Q1A. They are 4-2 against Q1B. So overall, they're 5-10 in Q1, which not great, but like there's a lot of teams that aren't that good. In Quad 2, they're 6-2, with those two losses being DePaul away and Providence at home, and then they have no Q3 and no Q4 losses. So as of right now, St. John's is a Q1A loss.
Right, and so as shitty as it feels, that loss felt, big picture compared to other resumes, it's not that bad.
Right. Well, and maybe it speaks to the statement you made previously, right? Like if the losses, this collapse, were spread out, like if last year's collapse and this year's collapse were kind of more spread out, sprinkled throughout the season, are we as upset?
I would be, I don't know if I would be like enraged is probably overstating it. I don't know. I probably wouldn't be as mad as I am right now. I would still be disappointed with 8-10 in the conference, I think.
Right. Right. Yeah, the collapses do matter, right? Like, I'm not trying to discount the collapses, because the fact that they're collapsing is absolutely a factor, But I
yeah,
think
it's an
point
indication. It's an indication of the team and how they're performing and if they're getting better or not.
Right. But the reason I kind of separate the claps from everything else, because I wanted you to and you highlighted it. We would still be disappointed with the performance this season if they went 8-10 in conference, if those 10 losses were like every other loss, right? Like we would still be disappointed. You layer on 2 years of collapses in a row while having the best scorer in the country on the team. Like that is grounds for enragement. I think being enraged is like, so I'm trying to validate everyone's feelings out there that you should be mad and Wojo should be feeling heat. Now, do I think we should be booing him at home? No, that just doesn't serve any purpose whatsoever. But should you not go to games? Should you not pay money? I don't know. At some point, right? Like, you got to send it. That's the only way people are going to listen. If Wojo isn't the right direction and Marquette's leadership is decidedly conservative, that's just what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you should you definitely should not feel bad if you are upset with this team right now and the coaching staff. Like, you don't need to apologize to anybody for that. It is perfectly logical to be blah on this team right now and just have no faith in them. And I hate to put that on the players because I want the players to be successful, but I direct it kind of more at the coaching staff and the position they've put the team in. So,
I think the players obviously have some responsibility here, but as we highlighted towards the beginning, the coaching staff is not putting them in positions to be successful. Not only is it that the players are struggling with their game in of themselves, it is that they are, like, the coaching staff is just not doing things different enough or shaking things up. Like, at this point, Seton Hall game or the NCAA tournament game, how mad will it make you if Kobe and Brendan Bailey start?
I'm quite frankly expecting it, but that's more of a statement of how I feel about this team and their preparation and willingness to make adjustments. I don't know if I would trust this coaching staff to plan a barbecue right now, much less get ready for a tournament run and try to stop a talented team and try to game plan something and get creative. It's kind of the same thing over and over again. I'm totally expecting them to start the same starting lineup that they've continued to roll out all year.
Paint Touch has pointed this out. The inexplicable thing has been, prior to certainly last season, but maybe even the season before, Wojo took big swings, right? Like, he would make significant lineup changes or would change direction or would play – I'm not advocating for a 2-3 zone, but, like, would play more 2-3 zone or whatever it was, right? He would make changes. He changed the starting lineup. These last 2 years, he just seems to think – each game is this independent, like, event that and the games have no bearing on each other, and just goes, yeah, this game's going to be different. We're going to do the same things, but they'll be different than the last time we did them.
Yeah. I will be interested to see if they, learning what they learned from the Seton Hall game the previous time, but playing two bigs seemed to work. And I don't know if you can play two bigs for 40 minutes, but when Gil and Mamu are both out there, maybe we will see Theo and Jace out there together and see if it works for a little while. And yeah, you're basically game planning for defense, and that probably hurts you offensively, but you got to do what you got to do. And that would at least give me some faith that the coaching staff is learning, as opposed to maybe be stubbornly saying, look, would I continue to roll out there at the beginning of every game? It has to work eventually. No, it actually doesn't have to work eventually. Maybe it's just not right. You need to accept that.
Well, and they've lost by double, like, significant double digits. I guess they came back a little bit at the end of the senior day Seton Hall game, but they've lost to Seton Hall and have been, I guess, from a Seton Hall perspective, comfortably behind. Marquette's been comfortably behind Seton Hall in the majority of both of those games. So if ever you're going to roll something new out there, why wouldn't you go something like, all right, you look at the numbers and you say, man, Kobe has been bad. Brendan Bailey has been not good. Maybe they play – here's what I would do. Again, if nothing else to shake it up. I would play Marcus, Sakaar, Jamal. I would start Jamal, and I would play Jace and Theo together.
I would like to see that myself, yes. And yeah. I would say a little more of Greg as well.
Right. Absolutely. And I get it. You can't play two bigs together for foul reasons, right? Like Jace and Theo kind of are interchangeable, and this is where not having Ed hurts, and I get that. And we don't know what went down there, but you know, again, he's not on the team, so yeah. we gotta deal with it. But I just, if you can play 2 minute spurts where you're playing two bigs together, and then you know, Mamu and Gil aren't gonna play together the whole time, right? So you match chess for chess. And you match up, and then when one of the two from Seton Hall goes to the bench, you bring one of the two from, you know, of Theo and Jace to the bench, and you know, see if you can get, you know, out of 20 minutes of each half, see if you can get, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 minutes of two bigs out of it, and see if that makes a difference. What I mean, at this point, other than losing the game, you literally have nothing to lose by doing something different.
Yeah, just try something because everyone's expecting you to lose this game. It's a quasi home game for Seton Hall, a team that has beaten you handily twice, and they're going to have a ton of fans there, and they're probably going to be a pretty significant favorite in that game, I would think. What does KenPom have? Let me check. KenPom has it as Seton Hall, only by one. Are you serious? No way.
Yeah, it's like KenPom's not betting in Vegas. I don't think.
Yeah, I'll take Seton Hall minus one for sure.
I will wager no red for Owen's college fund and a couple of mortgage checks that Marquette loses by more than one.
Yeah, I would think so. But yeah, just to try something different. And hey, if you pull off the upset, super. You know, then you got to beat Villanova and Creighton, and then you're Big East champ. Seems easy enough. But yeah, just to try something different, and hey, maybe it works. Maybe you like it. Maybe you continue to try to shake things up. Might be too little too late for this season, but maybe lesson learned for future seasons, because you can still grow as a coach. You can still get better for the next crop. I think you kind of owe it to your next crop to evolve as a coach, to get better, get smarter, and just try to learn. And or else, you know, it's not going to be long for any of you coaches there if things continue the way they are. Because, a year from now, it's going to be time to talk contract again. And it might be decision time for the university a year from now. So we'll see. I guess that's where we are.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think I'm with you that I 100% fully expect the same lineup to be rolled out and almost nothing to change. Like, we're going to be looking, you know, 15 minutes into the first half, we're going to be down 10 or 12 and, you know, going – well, gee, what happened here?
Yeah, how soon? Like, I actually have a line of questions for you. This is, you know, several predictions to kind of like get us towards the end here. So, and my first one, you just kind of answered it, but the first question I wanted to answer from you is Thursday night, will McEwen and Bailey be starting?
Yes, they will both be starting.
I agree. I think they both will be starting. My second question was, how soon into the game does Wojo say, F it, we're doing something else?
Like, full F it? Like, in the St. John's game? I don't...
I would say, how soon does he pull them both?
I bet Kobe... I mean, unless Kobe is playing, you know, much better than he has, I have a feeling 3 minutes into the game, Kobe will have committed two turnovers, and Wojo will pull him.
Yeah, I think Kobe is out by the first television timeout.
Yep, I agree.
And he'll try something else, because as much as I know he wants Kobe to succeed, because like what Kobe can bring defensively can really help you beat a team like Seton Hall, and I know he wants to, because Kobe's going to be important next year. He wants to have some, build some confidence for Kobe, but if it's not working, it's not working. But okay, so my second question for you, Marquette's Big East tournament result will be
0-1.
Okay, that's kind of where I am too. I think they lose, and I think they're going to do that thing where they get down huge early in the second half, 15, 20 points. They'll make that charge when Seton Hall kind of calls off the dogs to start resting their top guys for a rematch with Villanova on Friday, presumably. And then I think when they do that, they kind of, you know, back off a little bit. Marquette will make their charge but still lose. So then I'm with you. I am expecting Marquette to lose on Thursday night to Seton Hall by a convincing margin. But, and then my next prediction question from you, the Big East champion will be?
I think it's going to be Creighton.
I think it's I'm going to go with Seton Hall just because, like I said earlier, it is quasi-home for them.
Yeah.
And I think they bounce back from the frustrating end of the season, and I think they will beat Villanova and then Creighton in the championship. So, kind of chalky, but that's where I'm going. I think Seton Hall wins the Big East title.
I mean, it's certainly possible. I just think Creighton's hot, and Seton Hall has been very up and down.
Creighton is on fire, and I think if Creighton wins the Big East tournament, they are going to very likely. I mean, they're going to be a 2 seed at least, and if something crazy happens in the A-10 tournament, I don't know if Creighton can get all the way up to a 1, but boy, they're going to be up there.
They'd have an argument for it for sure.
There would be an argument. I don't know if they'd get all the way up there, but Creighton is damn good, and I will say I am excited about that for March is. Hopefully, someone other than Villanova has a significant March run in them. And I think we've got 3 teams who can do that. Maybe even Providence is a sneaky 4th, just that team nobody wants to face that could surprise you and get to the Sweet 16. But I'm hoping for some non-Villanova success from the Big East in the tournament. But I would like for Villanova to also be successful in March.
Right.
But,
I mean, we're going to get 6-7 teams into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think comfortably 6, and then Xavier's the iffy one. Like, Xavier can do themselves a lot of favor by don't lose to DePaul, and then if they upset Villanova, I think they'll be in. And
right,
that could be dicey if they beat Villanova and Marquette gets hammered by Seton Hall. Will they be a higher seed than us?
I would think so.
Maybe.
All right. One of your questions, what seed do we think Marquette's going to be? Because I'm ready for that game.
That is my final question. On Selection Sunday, we will hear what about Marquette?
That they've played like garbage for 2 months.
from the committee, we will hear.
Yes, from the committee, I think we will hear they'll be an 11 seed.
In Dayton?
I don't think they're going to fall that far. Though I will say, the committee has always emphasized that how you play in the last 10 games matters, and no one is playing crappier than Marquette in the last 10 games.
Like, that used to be a metric. I think that's kind of gone away, though, hasn't it? Like, I don't think that's something they truly discuss in that room of last 10 games. Like, that used to be something they seriously considered, but I think that's actually gone away. Now, maybe in the back of your mind, maybe that's something you're, you know, when you're debating between teams, maybe that, you know, may cost you like a tiebreaker, I guess, between if this one's a 10 and that one's an 11, maybe that may have an effect. But I don't think, as far as if you were to ask the committee, is the last 10 games a metric, I would think they would say no.
Yeah, I don't see Marquette falling. So I think they're an 11 seed, but I don't see them falling all the way out to, like, I don't think they're going to metric out as 65 through 68. You know, well, and that's not really what the playing games are, go ahead.
You're talking about 65 through 68 are the 16 seeds,
right?
But I know what you mean as far as the literal last 4 in,
yes.
From the at-large perspective, I think I'm right about there. I think they are going to be, they're going to be an 11, and I haven't done the math on this. I don't know if you can be an 11 and not be in Dayton this year, but it depends on maybe some upsets and conference tournaments this year. But I think they will be an 11, but not in Dayton. I think they are going to be like the last bye. That's kind of where I see them falling.
Yep, I agree. I think that's where they're going to be, and it'll be interesting. I mean, I couldn't pull the trigger on it, but I almost tweeted that what Wojo is actually doing here is he's trying to get an 11 seed. Like, this is intentional. He wants an 11 seed so he can face an overrated 7 seed, and then set up what would the matchup after that be? A 2 seed.
Yeah, well, if you're an 11, you're playing a 6.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. 11 playing a 6, and then you would play the 3. You know, and so he's trying to make that Sweet 16 game as positive as possible.
Yeah, he basically was trying to get far away from that 8-9 game.
Right. Yeah, he's playing 72 dimensional chess while we're all just trying to remember to breathe over here.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could give him credit for that. But no, I don't think it. But yeah, like you said earlier, I'm still confident they make the tournament, but not as confident as I should be. Like if they just get hammered by Seton Hall, and like we're talking about finishing losing 80 or NAS 9, and I know I just said that shouldn't matter, but the fact that they are just playing like absolute garbage right now just really hurts them. And it would be so nice to have a win over Seton Hall in your back pocket, and then there's just no stress at all, and the, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But I think there is a legitimate chance they fall to Dayton, and they are one of the last four in. And I think that is kind of what I'm bracing for. And like I said earlier, that would be just so hilarious if Wojo's first quote-unquote tournament win is a Dayton play-in game.
Yeah, that would be bonkers. Now, what do you think? What do you think the highest possible seed Marquette could get?
Like if they win the Big East tournament?
Well, if they win the Big East, I think they can get to like a 6 or a 7, right?
Yeah, if they were to hypothetically shock us all and beat Seton Hall, Villanova, and Creighton on 3 consecutive days, that changes a lot. And like, you have got some quality wins. Yeah, you've got a championship. You've got confidence. And then, yeah, I think they could go. I think they could maybe even get all the way up to a 6. Maybe 7. But yeah, if I were to realistically, based on what I think is going to happen in New York this week, assuming they lose to Seton Hall, or maybe they get one win against Seton Hall, I think the best they could possibly do is an 8. Like, if they beat Seton Hall, maybe they can get to an 8. But I think if they lose to Seton Hall, I think they are probably 10-ish.
Yeah, I think that's like, if they lose to Seton Hall, and I almost don't know whether if they're competitive or not, if it matters. I think they are somewhere on, if they lose to Seton Hall, they're somewhere on a 10-11. If they beat Seton Hall, they're somewhere in a 9-10. If they... what they would then go on and play Villanova, theoretically Villanova, maybe Xavier again, right, if Xavier upsets Villanova. But
right.
that probably moves them to the 7-8 line, and then beating Creighton would move them up to a 6-7, right?
Yeah, I think they'd be probably a very strong 7, I would guess.
Right.
But
yeah,
we are getting way, way ahead of
ourselves. Oh, it ain't happening. I mean, it ain't happening.
But that would be, that would be one of the most shocking turnarounds I think I've ever seen for this team, to just be in total free fall for 3 weeks and then beat the 3 best teams in the conference on 3 days in a row. That would be just stupid, is what it would be. But,
well, and I mean, do you think, like, so they obviously didn't have, I mean, the games got a little bit punchy against Seton Hall, but this is kind of returning to the scene of the crime last year. Because, I mean, one could make the argument that if Marquette had gone on, and they were very competitive in that Seton Hall game in the Big East tournament last year, do you think being back in the Big East tournament and all that went down last year, like, I don't know, does it fire up the team? Does it, like, is it different? And they were kind of just playing through the string in the Big East, and now this feels different, or is this just same old for this team, I think?
I wish I could get inside the heads of those players and coaches and sit here and tell you, yeah, they're going to be fired up and ready to go. But I think I am guessing that right now they are, sitting in the Al McGuire Center, or sitting in their dorms, or they may have even stayed in New York this week. I don't know, because they don't have class on Monday or Tuesday. But anyway, wherever they are, they're probably just sitting there staring, thinking, "What the hell is wrong with us right now?" Like, and just trying to fight that doubt, that boogeyman in your head that's saying, "Yeah, you're collapsing again, man. You're bad right now." And I can't say like that the fact that they're in the Big East tournament again against Seton Hall again is going to change them mentally at all. I think they're going to be the same team they were on Saturday mentally, and it's going to be a matter of, if they adjust, if they decide to play for 40 minutes the way they play for the middle 10 minutes of the second half more often than not. But yeah, I don't think there is any extra motivation, because I think everyone is equally motivated, because, you know, the top three teams in that tournament, they've all got something to play for as far as seeding. Like, all those teams are probably wanting to make sure they secure a two seed in the tournament, right?
Right.
I think all Creighton, Seton Hall, and Villanova probably, with a good showing in Madison Square Garden, probably could get a two seed. Now, they can't all get it, but I think they're all probably on that 2-3 line right now.
Yeah, I agreed, and that's where that is the exciting thing. I mean, not to get too depressing, but it does sound like it does seem like Marquette's going to be out of the tournament pretty early. There's a lot of high quality Big East talent, you know, teams that we can kind of cheer for as well, right? Like,
oh yeah, I think the Big East tournament. I agree, you know, we're biased, but I think it's the most exciting tournament this week.
Yep.
I think that's, like, if you had to be at any tournament this week as a neutral fan, I think the Big East is the one you're going to want to go to, because the teams there and the players there are as exciting and as interesting as anyone there. And I think you've got three teams there that are good enough to get to the Final Four. And you've got two All-American candidates. You've got teams that score a bunch, and you've got good coaches, and of course it's an awesome venue, and you're in an awesome city. I think the Big East tournament is as good as anyone. Yeah, like the Big Ten is wide open, but I'm not sure how many national championship contenders or Final Four contenders you've got at the Big Ten tournament, and I would say the same for, you know, like the ACC and the Big 12 are both very top heavy tournaments, but this one's damn good, man, and I am. Like, I mean, I'm not excited for it because of what I think is going to happen to Marquette, but as far as just the quality of basketball, I am very excited for the Big East tournament.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting to watch, and you know, unfortunately, I think we'll be kind of neutral observers pretty early in the Big East tournament, so it'll be interesting to take on. Boy, this is a depressing podcast.
It really is, but I think we've talked through some things, and I think we kind of know where we are, and it, like, The thing I struggle with is, like, as frustrated as I am, I still can't root against my team. Like, I am still rooting for this team to win games, and I want them to prove me wrong and maybe just shake some doubts about this team and say, see, you were wrong about us. We do have some fight. We do have coaches that can adjust. We do have some smart coaches who can put together a good game plan and surprise you. I want that to happen so badly. If I really thought them losing the next two games badly would lead to some serious change and would be for the better of the program, maybe I could get myself to that point. But I don't think it is. I think we're just rooting against them just digs us in a deeper hole that they're just going to have to climb out of anyway, because I don't think this coaching staff is going anywhere. And so might as well just root for them and hope they prove us wrong. And That's just kind of where I am. As frustrated as I am right now, I still can't root against this team. It's still my squad, and I hope they win.
Yep, agreed. We just got to see where it goes.
All right, so hopefully they prove us wrong, and as always, we thank you for listening to here on Scrambled Eggs, and we have hoped this has been some sort of therapy for you in some weird way, and maybe you're fired up for the Big East tournament more than we are, but all I can say is go in with low expectations, and you won't be disappointed. Maybe they surprise us. But, hey, hit us up with your thoughts on Twitter. I am Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF23. At Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. You can go to cracksidewalks.com. Post the podcast there. You can leave your comments on cracksidewalks.com. Be sure to go to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate that very much. And we have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page as well. Phil, any more Arby's thoughts before we get out of here?
Just breathe. The season will be over soon, and we can all go back to watching Marvel movies.
Yeah. Can we move Black Widow up? Could we, like, release that in, like, late March?
I would love that.
I wish. I guess I'll just have to settle for the next X-Men movie, whatever it's going to be, that New Mutants. Just have to do that. But we're getting off tracks. All right. Seashells and balloons, everybody.